You're visibly leaning away from me.
I'm just trying to lean into the mic, but I mean, I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I just wondered if he wanted to talk about it. I guess.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish.
Hey, Ash.
Hey, Jessamine.
How are you doing today?
It's been wonky sleep. My body hurts a lot. I'm kind of in a bad mood. How about you?
I've felt worse. I feel good. I feel pretty good.
Great.
Oh, wow. It's coming up for you.
Every time I try to look at you, my neck hurts. That's all.
What side of your neck hurts?
It's just back, left side of my... the back of my neck.
That's real.
What feels like a little whiplash from nothing all that dramatic. There was no incident. I'm glad I did that. I like coffee. How about you? You like coffee?
It's okay.
Not for you.
It doesn't feel great in my body all the time.
Mm. Like anxiety stuff or GI stuff?
What's GI?
Gastrointestinal.
No, it makes my heart race.
Mm-hmm.
The history of heart problems in my family. Like to just drink it.
Oh, sorry, that makes sense.
What's up? Do I know the what now?
You're visibly leaning away from me.
I'm just trying to lean into the mic, but I mean, I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I just wondered if he wanted to talk about it. I guess.
I don't really know what there is to say about it. We're in a transitional place in us and in our relationship and in the way that we engage with one another. And I don't really know like what to, do you want to do the system that we usually do? What are you inviting in?
Spaciousness from bullshit. How about you?
Totally. I feel like I'm always inviting in patience, and I do feel like I'm inviting in patience and trying to just let time be what it is, which is very challenging for me.
Okie dokie.
Do you want to answer this dearie query?
This is dumb. Why are we doing this?
It was scheduled, so that's why we're doing it. Maybe that's not a reason to do it. If you want to not do it, we cannot do it.
I just don't want to do it shitty.
Okay. How would you like to do that?
I don't know. Get real.
Let's get real then. What would you like to say?
It's feeling harder for me to understand how to juggle all these things that we juggle with less of the glue that holds us together. And I think I said the other day that I think we're giving our glue away. And it makes me sad because it feels like a choice. Like it feels like we have a solid partnership and a really hardcore working relationship. And it feels like we're choosing to not put the goods back into this. And I don't like it. It makes me sad. And that's what we've been dealing with the last few weeks.
I mean, I thought last week went really well. I thought we've been... I'm curious what you are thinking of specifically, because I do think that there's a need to juggle and balance and carry a lot of different things. And right now we are carrying many, many, many different things. And I would love to have more context on what you mean.
I think there's always been like a sweetness in our romantic relationship that has made some of the harder stuff feel worth it or like cushioned. Mm-hmm. That sweetness is far more absent than it ever has been. And I feel like we're investing in relationships outside of ours that make it, that are, it's testing our closeness and testing our sweetness. And so I feel like my will and faith are being tested constantly. I just don't have the will, which is the beginning of the willingness, which is sad because I want the willingness. I pretty much always can find the willingness.
If you don't have the will, you shouldn't do it. I don't really feel like I'm investing outside of our relationship.
That's
frankly
a lie.
How is that
it's
a lie?
Not true.
I guess I'm coming from a place of, I spend most of my time in this house. I spend most of my time with you. I'm not investing in another relationship in the same way that I'm investing in this one. I think it would make sense for you to feel differently.
Was it like,
oh my God, you and your time. Double standards.
Literally, is it a double standard?
Yes, Ash, it is.
So this should just be a fight episode.
No, I don't even understand why we're talking about this.
Okay. Because we don't have a therapist.
Okay, well then maybe we should get a therapist and stop doing this podcast, frankly.
Why is everything so mutually exclusive to you?
Because
your brain just makes a binary and then it's one thing or it's another.
I'm over this. I don't enjoy this whole thing that we're doing right here. Podcast. I'm not into this. No. This, I'm just not, oh my God. Let me try to find the words. I'm not into the characterization that you just made about this weekend. Especially thinking about the way that you were behaving around my friend.
Behaving?
Yes.
The thing, he's not my father. So I'm not like behaving around him.
Oh, you are things, impossible.
He does
it is
things.
Impossible for you to be an adult around other people.
Okay.
You revert to complete childhood whenever you are not getting your way.
That's not the case. But I hear that that's what you're feeling right
okay.
now.
Okay. I'd love to poll the audience, but sure.
I would love to poll the audience. I would love to poll the audience on when they're tested to their limit, what they seem like.
To the listener, please, that is the whole situation.
Are you getting backup? Is there something that
no,
you can't
talk to me about?
No, I
just want to paint the full picture. I'm talking to you.
Here's
about
the
it.
Full picture. Are y'all ready for the full picture? Is that what you want, Jessamine? The whole
what's,
thing?
What's
you want the whole thing out there? That's
go
what you're
ahead,
trying to say?
Please.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
And I don't want to like, waste Kylie's time with this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, let's
literally
quit. Let's be done.
Do you literally want to do that, or do you want to find adulthood and
don't,
do what we've written right
when
here?
You're characterizing it like that, you know that what you're doing is being very alienating. When you call me a child, you know that what you're doing is being very alienating. You're being insulting, you're trying to hurt my feelings. You know that that's a thing that's really unkind to say to me specifically. I've asked you so many times not to say exactly that. I've asked you so many times not to have people over who make me feel like shit. I've asked you so many times to do things like have boundaries with my needs and ideas and thoughts and feelings in mind, and you refuse to. And so that is where I am, is trying to understand how to have space from that dynamic. Period. That's it.
I think we should stop doing this.
The show? This show?
No, I think that we should really talk about whether or not we should even be in a relationship or doing this show or anything. Because like this, I just think it's not sustainable. It's driving me crazy. I feel like I don't even understand what you're seeking other than complete chaos. And like, I feel like it's just, I'm not into it.
Listen to the things that I ask of you. So if you don't understand
what
I'm
saying,
what is
it that you're asking of me that I'm not doing? Are you being for real right now?
There's no way to have this conversation. Number one, because you're different on this show. Everybody would be. I am. Number two, you're not really... we haven't been open to each other in weeks. Like you asking me a question like that, there's no way to answer it. Tell me how I could answer that question. You ask these questions that are impossible to answer so that I have nothing for you. So you're like, see, there's nothing. It's just, what are you doing? What could you be? I just feel like you could give a fuck.
You don't listen to me.
I do.
You are openly disrespectful to me all the time. I tell you about what's going on in my life. I try to tell you about my friendships. I try to tell you about their evolution. You don't want to hear it.
Hey, I know you asked for a different thing. And so this must.
I'm over this.
Okay.
I'm over
you
this.
Done?
You
Let's
are not
shut it
good
off,
at being polite. No. Mm-mm. Please don't. you are holding a really intense double standard right now. Are you really on your phone right now?
That's how a way that people discharge anxiety, you know? So yeah, I did look at my phone. It's true.
I mean, if you really want to go there, we can talk about the deeper parts of this.
Just look at your phone. Are you kidding?
You're so immature.
I'm not immature. What I'm trying to say is that you talk about double standards. And I think the fact is we have a lack of something that makes, and maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe it's something people try to get rid of. Like, we're not scared of each other. I don't know what it is. There's something lacking where, like, we don't, I don't know.
What is the purpose of what we're talking about right now? How does it relate to what has been going on the last 24 hours and what we have on this outline to talk about today?
Sorry. I'm fucked everything up. Got it.
Does that feel like a fun answer for you?
It's like the only answer that I think is going to be acceptable to you. What else is there to say? I'm bad at my job. Is that what it is? That's a theme. We could roll with that. The audience knows about that already. What else? You're replacing me with somebody else?
I'm literally not. This is what is so hard about working with you. You make everything personal. You do not know how to just hold your fucking maturity at all. It's not about your feelings. It's not, no one is coming in to replace you. And I cannot continue to tell you that.
Because it's, sorry. It's amazing to me what people would look like if their like relationship fights were being filmed like this.
I think that's exactly right.
I'm glad there's a record at least. Shortest episode in history. What do you think?
I think I'd like to better understand where you're coming from, and I'd like to do this question that is on here, and I think we have the capacity to do that. And I think that if we're going to do anything in this life, whether together or separate, we're going to have to figure out how to get through shit like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's next?
We can stop recording if you'd like. What are you feeling?
Despair.
That's real. That's not a good feeling. What would make you happy?
I don't think despair really leaves less space for that vision, but for me right now, but not crying right now would make me feel better for sure. I wish I wasn't emoting like this. I don't know. I think some clarity on what's coming next would be nice, because it's just been like this for so long. It's hard to keep my head in the game, you know? Just feels like it's falling apart pretty all the time. It's really exhausting, actually. So I'm sorry I'm making that personal. It feels really personal to me.
What feels like it's falling apart?
My life, my job, my relationship, where am I, you know? It feels really intense. I feel pretty, I'm lacking a lot of the resources that I feel like could make it feel less intense. That's that. You want to do this outline?
I mean, I don't really want to just like speed past what you're saying, but I do think that we have an opportunity to go into this question.
Do you want to read the question?
Yeah, I can read the question. This is a Deary query, and it goes a little something like this. I am monogamous at my core, and I've been on a few dates with someone newly dating after a really hard divorce. She is planning to explore being poly, and I fully understand that she is and why she needs to do it, and I'm here for it. I think this is an important connection, and it's just foolishness to even date each other knowing if we fall in love where our base beliefs are. We're grown folks and also tenderhearted, so this is new and sweet and sexy. I just don't want to be a dummy. Do you poly folks ever date monogamous folks with clear boundaries, or does it always end poorly?
And everything ends poorly, first of all. Literally, somebody dies at the end of every single story.
Everyone. Life is a tragedy.
So yes, it will end poorly. If you want to go into a relationship worried it might not end poorly, back away.
Yeah.
Find a dog.
Yeah.
There might be
Still going to end poorly.
It's going to end poorly. And not because like I'm sad right now. Like tell
no because Kylie, death is a part of life.
The last
life.
Relationship you were in, how to, you know what I'm saying? Everything ends poorly. It's just all it's not, lessons.
Poorly, you know? Is a subjective idea too, because like if you,
what does it mean?
It's going to end eventually.
Right.
Like there's going to be some ending.
You might
and
be
like,
sad.
There's going to be a cycle, and it's you're going to be sad, and you're going to learn from the sadness and have new skin
and either move on or be dead. Yeah. I mean, that's all.
I guess if you don't want to, if you're worried about something ending poorly, then like buying an artificial plant is a good relationship to have because it's not going to change, but you'll still need to like dust it and shit and mm-hmm. like rinse the leaves. I mean, I don't prefer to date monogamous people, frankly. And that's actually, I've had a friendly flirtation with someone that I believe is now just purely friendly, but I've had a friendly flirtation with someone who is monogamous, and he actually came to help me understand a lot more about monogamy and why people are monogamous. And I think it's a very specific choice. I think it is. I feel like radical honesty can come with monogamy as well, for sure. I've never seen it, but I think it can happen.
I think it's an important connection. It's just foolishness. What was I going to say? Oh, in terms of poly people dating monogamous people. We have a close friend who's been in a monogamous poly person who's been in a relationship with a monogamous person for almost 3 years.
Who? Or what?
A poly your other person partner been... dates a monogamous person.
Oh, I don't feel like it's a good idea to
Edward Scissorhands kind of editing game, eh? Should we keep going with this? Or no?
We can stop if you want.
It just doesn't feel like the show that we do, you know?
It feels like the show that we do to me. I feel like we come on here, we have a fight, we sometimes talk about something, and then we... it's put out into the world for people to listen to. So I don't know if you have like a fake persona or something that you're not able to get to today, but I'm not feeling that different than I usually feel.
Heard.
I don't think it's a good idea to be unclear with people about, like, I think that if you're monogamous, if you say that you are monogamous, it is likely that you will consistently have an issue with a partner who is polyamorous unless you are comfortable with them living their truth because you are so deeply embedded in your own truth. And that I feel like could work. Like if you were monogamous and you know that like you're down for this person, yeah. but like you also understand that they need to do what they need to do and it doesn't have anything to do with you, but you're good with them and you can find compersion for them and mm-hmm. like appreciate what their other partners bring into your life, then hell yeah, monogamous and poly people date. But like, I think that sometimes there's not that level of communication. And so that is a really hard kind of dynamic to do.
Or that level of like knowing yourself. Like I dated somebody once who was married to a person. They had been monogamous and she was like, yeah, but I need to fuck women. So she started dating women and he didn't really start dating. But he did. I mean, there were like these concessions or something, I guess, made for him to like have sex with other people mm-hmm. every so often. And she was whatever, she didn't care. And so, yeah, in that sense, I feel like he was kind of monogamous, but like also getting like, physical and boredom needs met, I think, because he didn't treat those sex relationships like partnerships. He treated them like encounters. So I feel like that was an example of something that I've seen work. But to your point, I think you really have to know each other, know yourself more than you know each other. I think you have to know yourself. And if you are monogamous, it's because you don't want to do that. If somebody else is poly, it's because they do, right?
Yeah.
I think anything's anybody's one thing, though.
Yeah, I don't think
that's what comes up there sometimes.
I would argue that all relationships are polyamorous, that even in relationships that are monogamous, that there are other people in that person's life, the monogamous person's life, that are partnerships. Like, it could be your parent. Like, some people are really close with their parents, and mm-hmm. they talk to their parent, like, literally every single day. And that parent is a part of their relationship with someone else. It might be your child. Like, you might have a really... Like, I mean, your child is literally in your relationship. So like, right. I feel like the concept of monogamy doesn't really fit with the world that we live in. But I think that it is a function of the patriarchy. It is a really, I think, clever way to control people and to, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I think it is one of the ways that we can manipulate each other by saying that, like, that you need to be monogamous because you're like... afraid of being left. You're afraid that no one's going to love you. And if this one person has said that they are going to do it, then you feel a sense of security. Mm. But I'm like, do you really feel a sense of security? Like, are you really?
I think all that is in yourself. I think the sense of security comes in monogamy or polyamory or celibacy from the self. I think that's where you're getting a sense of security. I know that's why I don't have a sense of security in our relationship right now. For instance, if you want to just, I'm sorry, that's just where I'm at. So I'm not pretending I'm not.
What do you say?
I'm not secure in myself. I don't know myself. I don't really like myself super well.
Yeah.
And so how could I be in this? And so I think that's actually the biggest thing that's happening with us right now for me is that I want to be alone because I'm trying to figure out this that I just said, where my security is, where my home is in me. And, it's scary and it's hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like you react to it and then I react to you reacting to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot. And I have like a really insecure attachment style. I'm a highly traumatized person. Like, I got left a lot. I don't know. I don't like being alone. So, it's scary, but I think, I don't know what your situation is. Obviously you would more than me, but I am I'm feeling really insecure in this relationship, and it's fucking with everything in my life. But it's because I'm insecure in myself. So everywhere I go, I'm insecure in myself. You know, everything I try, work, the grocery store, whatever, it's all colored by that lens. And so then there's the deeper existential crisis of like, what am I going to do with my life then? You know? So after just like feeling pretty bombarded by these concepts for the last chunk of time, I just feel exhausted. And my exhaustion comes out as anger. My sadness comes out as anger. My anger comes out as anger. And it's really not, I don't think anybody should be subjected to it, frankly. So then I try to exile myself and then I'm really lonely, you know? So I don't know, man. It feels like a lot over here.
It is a lot.
I'm sure it is a lot for you too. I think
that it's not about me. I feel you that that's a lot. That makes a lot of sense.
Anyway, thanks. That's my self-diagnosis.
I don't think you need to minimize it, or not for me anyway. I think that that's a shared experience. I think a lot of people feel what you're describing. I've certainly felt what you're describing.
Yeah. I mean, to go back to this question for a sec, I just don't want to be a dummy is literally something I have, I mean, in the past, maybe 72 hours said out loud. Like, that's with those words, I don't want to be a dummy. I feel like, you and I were having this conversation, Jessamyn, about intelligence. Mm-hmm. You were like talking about, which I say that, I mean, everybody has some feeling of this. Like, I want to hang out with somebody who's smart. And I was like feeling that, like feeling like I want to be able to connect on like topics, intellectual topics that I really, really like with somebody else, or read books other people have read. But I was also finding myself like deconstructing the word in my head. And I think in this same way, I think there are ways to be really smart in relationships that can go too far and be really controlling. And I think there's ways to be really naive in relationships and to be a dummy in relationships that are really open and freeing and offer freedom to other people and hurt, like, and end up giving you big lesson. And so I don't think the binary of like smart and dumb in these relationships actually fits. I think there's a much more expansive intelligence when it comes to relating to other people. And I want to just address it because it's not dumb to date somebody who's different than you. It's hard, you know, it's not dumb. So maybe I'm telling myself that right now. It's just really hard. And sometimes it ends poorly. Maybe always, but it doesn't make it not worth it. And that's what I want to say about that.
I agree. I identify with what you're saying, and I agree with what you just said so much. I think that I feel like the dummy dichotomy or dummy idea is like, it's not for this. Like, every relationship is kind of dumb. Like, the way that it happens, the way that it continues, like, because it's all about accepting another person. And you have to accept every part of them. Because you have to accept every part of yourself. And like that process, I don't know, it has been so deeply romanticized in film and television that it's hard to even like decipher what actual love and relationship development looks like, because we're all so desperate for a fairy tale happy ending. And like, that is just not the reality. Like, there's always going to be some shit, and it's always going to be something where like, you have to look at yourself and then you look at this other person and you can make a choice. We've definitely been brought to that choice literally within the hour. And I feel like it's just, life is just choices. It's just a series of choices. And like, you can be in a relationship with someone where like, you look back on it and be like, yeah, maybe I won't do that again. Or like, maybe that type of relationship is not the type of relationship I'm trying to be in.
But it's because you've learned more about who you are, which is ultimately a net gain, no matter what you're doing, no matter how good the pussy was with the person you just broke up with. Like, if you learn more about yourself as a result, you're winning the game of life.
I have this question. I've had this question about you since, I've been thinking about it since yesterday, but it's something that I've been thinking about a lot over the last year. It's like, the way that you talk to me whenever we're fighting, sometimes it can be really cruel and intense. Mm-hmm. And I will wonder if I'm not, like, maybe I'm being oversensitive or something. That's, or like, thing. Can I just even say what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I'll think like, maybe I don't, or like, maybe I'm not hearing you fully, and like, I need to receive you better. And like, then there are other times where I'm like, no, that was just like a really cruel thing to say. And like, I think she was trying to be cruel. And like, I am not, at this point, it's not an issue of her. It's like, is this something that I am trying to do? Is this the kind of relationship that I'm trying to be in? Is this how I want someone to talk to me? Is this how I believe that someone should communicate with me? And the reality is that I do have a history of keeping people in my life who treat me like shit, who talk to me in a way that is hurtful, because it's what I think it's what I think I deserve. And I see that happen with us. And I felt, even over the last month or so, that you're like ramping it up in different ways, almost like you're trying to get me to break up with you. And all of that is my psycho drama. And I feel like it's in this category of like, well, like, I don't want to be a dummy, you know, like, because I look at it and I'm like, you know, I don't want to be like in this relationship for years where like I feel like shit. And then later I look back and I'm like, why was I in this relationship where I was like feeling like shit? Mm-hmm. And like the other part, the other reality is that like I'm learning so much about myself. I'm learning so much about the world. And like, regardless of what happens, like I am going to be stronger. I am stronger. Mm-hmm. I'm literally stronger than I was before, mm-hmm. literally. Like in every way. Amen. And so I just feel like it's no big deal to be a dummy, or like I'm, that's what I'm telling myself. I guess now I'm curious, like, how does that hit you? What do you think?
I think there was, if one is being painted a picture by what you just said, I feel that there's like a very blank, there's a huge blank space on the canvas of like your offerings and contributions to our conflict. But that wasn't what you were talking about. I feel you. I'm feeling like it's like unjust or something, but
I feel that
paints a real shitty picture of me, which I think happens a lot. Are those the kinds of conflicts? Are those the kinds of conflict points that I, you know what I mean? I'm interested in like being influenced by being, you know, same question sort of to myself is like, there are a number of like, what would be, I think, deal breaker things that happen in our relationship that I've stuck with, you know what I mean? Just like moved through, learned a lot about myself around, and maybe the lesson is don't do that. You know, maybe the lesson is don't get so deep into something that really early on the person was like showing you that they treat you in a way that you don't like, you know? Mm. Because I think much of the time that we lived together in Durham, I was having similar conversations with myself and my friends that you're talking about now, you know? And I was like, no, like I'm the common denominator. Like I know that I need to think about the ways that these things are happening, and maybe I'm too needy. Maybe I want too much from this person. Maybe I'm codependent, and so I shouldn't be asking these things of this person. And whether that's true or not, or was true or not, it felt like it wasn't a match, and it felt like I numbed myself out and like deadened some of the things that I desire for a long time. And now I think we're here, and I'm sort of like sorting that out, especially with like, I don't know if we've said this on the podcast, but and it's not a common thing, but you did say something like off the leash one time, like let you off the leash, like I've let myself off the leash or something. I do feel like California's sort of been that for the both of us. Like I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to do it even if you ask me not to. I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. Like those kinds of things has been a very California theme. And I think it's really damaged our relationship, like hopefully not irreparably, because I'm in love with you and love doing these things that we do. I hate the ways that I guess sometimes we learn lessons, you know, in this with each other. But I hear you. I mean, I'm not trying to, the things that you said I'm taking in, because it's important to me to hear, you know, to have the mirror and to hear how I'm impacting you. But yeah, that was my follow-up, I guess, to what you said.
I hear that.
I wonder if sometimes I talk too long and you zone out because it's...
No, I just don't know what to say in response to what you're saying. I hear you. And I feel like I'm really speaking to the tone that you speak to me with. Speak to me with.
When we're in conflict.
Yeah. And I notice it because it is totally unique to this relationship.
For me too.
Heard.
For me, I've traced some of the uniqueness of our of the ways that what comes up for me in our conflicts to old wounds, like old hurt that we never talked about. So for me, it feels like the difference between implicit and explicit memory. Implicit memory being like pre-verbal memory. I know you hate that I studied psychology, but this is what happens. Implicit memory is like a generalized understanding. It's like a feeling. Explicit memory is like a thing happened. I had a word for it. And so I know what it is now. In my brain, I can remember it. And I feel like, yeah, it feels like a fuzzy sense of wounding in our relationship sometimes with me when conflict comes up, I'm just like generally wounded. And I think that you have much more of an explicit memory of the ways that we wound each other. And it's like newer. And I think that you're like, wow, you said this thing or you did this thing. And I'm generally like, wow, you ignored me for a long time. And I stuck with it, you know? And the things I asked for, you said no. And things you did with other people instead of me, you know, it was just like, we never worked through that stuff. We never talked about it. And so I think what you hear sometimes in our conflict now, you said has been ramped up in the last month or whatever, mm-hmm. is I think touching on some older unhealed stuff between us mm-hmm. that you may not even be aware of because it was characterized by you not really being very present with me emotionally. And so mm-hmm. that makes sense that it doesn't make sense to you. And I'm not falling asleep tonight without finding a therapist for myself because that's been made abundantly clear is not working for me in this recording so far. So these are takeaways.
I feel you. I think that's real.
Yeah. Thanks for making space for the nuance. I really appreciate it very, very much.
I think it's all nuance. And I think that's what's hard about this show sometimes is mm-hmm. that a lot of people are not honest with themselves or honest about their relationships. And so hearing us is like, what the fuck? Like, oh my God. Maybe that's just how I perceive the projection. Maybe that's how I'm projecting.
I think it's lonely and scary sometimes to be out here not seeing other people do similar things.
Yeah. And so I feel like we're keeping it real. Like, I don't know this. I don't know what's happening in other people's relationships, but like, this is what's happening here. Like, it's whatever. Like, maybe there are people who are, like, having fairy tales every day. I don't know.
I don't think anybody starts having a fairy tale before any of this.
That's what I think.
I mean...
And I hear you about, like, there's old hurt that has not been addressed. And so now, like, just trying to even make space for it all. And I do think that we have an incredibly complex relationship. Like... I feel like everything that you say, I want to be like, okay, well, it's not quite like that. Or like, that's not, well, but that's not taking this into consideration. And like, it just doesn't matter because that's what it is. And I hear you that there's much that we have not discussed that has just happened for years. And I hate the way that I feel villainized in that and feel like the villain to your friends and perhaps to people who are listening to this. And I feel like that's a part of it too, is just letting all of that be there because I am the villain. Sometimes we're all everything all the time. Like, I think that sometimes I'll decide that I'm the victim too. And I'll be like, this shouldn't be happening to me. Or like, I don't want to have hurt like this. Like this, look what someone did to me. And it's like, that's not true either. None of these things are true. It's not black and white. I agree. I think it is all the things all the time.
Well, I just love to leave people with cliffhanger.
I mean, is there a cliffhanger? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, I guess I'm whatever. My astro thought of the week is that Mercury is retrograde and it shows.
Communication.
And Venus is still retrograde until the 29th. And it shows.
Love.
It has been a really intense Venus retrograde. And Mercury retrograde on top of it is interesting. Interesting. And it's Aquarius season. So it's breaking all the boundaries. Full nuance.
Yeah. Well, until next time, kids.
If there is a next time.
There is a next time, you will hear it from us. Can we get out of here?
Sure.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot. And they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Lepper draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop Page.